Doku and I, for example, did our A-levels in a school called Comprehensive High School Ayetoro. It was built by the Ford Foundation. And I remember when I met Doku in 73, both of us were in lower six. We were two in a room.
Mm.
Two. And it was a purpose-built room. What I mean by purpose-built is the school was built top to bottom by the Americans. You had staff quarters. You had the various audiovisual lab, all kinds of things, piggery and so on and so forth. The staff quarters was like was just like true, really. You had duplexes, flats, bungalows. And, okay, we had dining hall. We had all kinds of things.
So,
We even had a clinic.
Mm.
You remember Mama Nurse?
Yeah, I remember.
You know, and this was just A-levels. It was secondary school. But look at Nigeria today. And then he went to Ife. He had the misfortune of going to Ife. I was fortunate enough to
imagine?
Go to Ife. Like, no, if these things happen, we will understand. But Doku is a medical doctor, and he retired. He's a pensioner now. You can see how fresh he looks. Better, you know, blah, blah, look fresh. He's a pensioner. He retired as a director in Cadbury. Okay, medical director, no, personnel.
Yeah, I moved from medicine.
Medicine to personnel. If it was now, I'd have told one or two of you, quickly bring your CV. I'm buying your chair. It was easy back in the day, though.
Oh, yes.
You know,
not anymore.
If I remember how I got into journalism, just as we finished in Compro, my dad, he wanted me to work in his chambers. I was resisting. So he called me one day, what did they bear? So I followed him in the car. You know, our parents were very. Did they bear? Get inside the car. So I went to the car because so I asked him meekly, where are we going? He said, Mufemwe Loba Jose. So he took me to Alhaji Jose's office, Daily Times.
Mm.
Got there and we got upstairs. The man didn't know we were coming, there were no mobile phones. We got upstairs, Jose, morning. Ah, about me, how are you? He said, oh, this boy says he wants to be a journalist like you. I leave you to handle him. And he went straight to his own office.
Wow.
And I started work. I was a little rat. A little rat, tiny, consequential rat. That's where I met the likes of Kola Wodeyin, Anuko, and everybody, you know. It was fun.
Mm.
Okay, let's do that. Let's get down to the business of the day. Now, the Doku, what is the effect of having that drug laboratory where it is in VDC? What do you think is the effect in the neighborhood, you know?
You know, it's multivariate, if I can say. Well, what I mean by that is, I mean, you produce these things, some of them escape in the air, and then, of course, some in the production is like when you're cooking, some things.
That's why they call the guy the cook.
The guy also, you see, the thing is, as I say to people, you don't need too big a space to have a lab. You can do it in a little kitchen in your house, in a bungalow. I mean, sorry, in your, one of the rooms of the boys' quarters. Mm. And nobody will be in the knowledge of it. And, you know, the thing, because these things cannot just be produced and there's no...
Effluent.
Yes.
And
then, so they go. And then you can then imagine when young people live and it becomes a constant thing. It's not unlikely that the fumes also begin to induce people and they begin to wonder what exactly is happening here. And then I learned that the gentleman had a baby.
Yes, had a baby in the house.
So you can imagine, and incidentally, he may not even escape into his own house. The way he would have done it and maybe put the exhaust to go outside.
Does it have a pungent smell?
It depends. You may not even smell it. I mean, it depends. Not too many people can smell. You just say, what is this? And then you walk away.
Mm.
So it depends on the category of the things it's producing. And you know, today you can perfume, like some of the marijuana or some perfume, some of these things can be so ameliorated in the sense that you may not even perceive.
Yeah, because I do get funny smells sometimes in some neighborhoods, you know. And somebody said, somebody must be smoking. That is not a bowl.
It's not impossible, Jimmy. You know, the thing is so important that we must become very much more observant than we were. I mean, I was reading somewhere. You find some places, people will be calling dispatch rather to deliver. And then you wonder in the house, why is it that it's every time they deliver something?
Can it be? Okay, let's knock out the possibility is, is it likely that it can be done in an apartment?
Obviously. It can be done.
Really?
Oh, it can be done. I mean, you see, it's just that because this just happened, NDLA had closed down or discovered close to 30 laboratories in Nigeria.
Wow.
In the last 4 or 5 years. And particularly since Jeremiah got there. Mm. So it's just because they don't make no. I mean, there was one they found, I think it was in Asaba, 1 or 2 years ago. The guy even brought in foreigners, I think they were Colombians, who were his consultants. Oh, yes, because in the initial, somebody has to teach them.
To teach them and set it up.
Oh, yeah, many of them are beginning now to set up their own labs. And I'm sure there'll be so many more that we haven't seen, that we haven't found. That's why people must so be observant and watch the environment, particularly in those highbrow areas. Mm. I mean, who are so into themselves. And
yes.
Who knows? What is the garage for? What is the little kitchen behind the house for? What is the...
Okay, can you give us tips? I'm sure people are wondering now. Mm. Can you give us, what are the tips that you need to look out for in an environment that should make you raise your eyebrow that, hey, what's going on here?
The thing is, you can't say particularly, but you just need to be observing about deviation in normal. You know, like what was found in California, there was this underground tunnel that was dug from Mexico into California. And then, into a normal house. And then the tunnel was about 531 meters long, had its own rail tracks, had its own, it was AC'd and everything. And it was, they were using it to transport drugs. So what happened in America was, some people noticed that the particular time that we see vehicles in the compound, and suddenly they all disappear and they move. Then they stopped one. Finally, they was carrying coke. Mm. And then so the thing is, when you look at an area, should this be happening in this area? When you see these plastic containers like drums and entering a house or this thing, kegs and all those, and then you begin to wonder, for this kind of a setting of an area, should this be happening? Or you see some people just walking into an area to walk and they're closed at certain time. We need to raise an antenna these days because you cannot be just too sure.
Now, apart from the fact, apart from being a civic duty, is there any personal harm that could come to you?
If you report?
If you are within the environment.
Oh, obviously. I mean, it depends on what is being produced. It depends on what is being produced and what you inhale. And then it depends on and the quantity and then how long it goes on.
Even the authorities in VGC said that they had to check out the water. And don't forget, even if you buy your drinking water, when you do have your bath, some of it seeps into your mouth. And sometimes all you need is a drop.
Maybe not as drastic as that.
As that.
Maybe not as drastic as that. But if you live in that and it's a constant thing you do, it may then begin to have effect. But if it's a transient thing, you just drink water and go away.
What is the obvious danger to the health of the people who are involved in this exercise?
Inhale, when you inhale, it goes...
No, when you get involved in production. I know that you wear face masks and so on and so forth.
Oh, they will. They will. I mean, it depends. And they wear gloves. They wear face masks. They have nose masks. They will probably in the area, humidify the area. They themselves will do that, at least to protect themselves. But again, it depends on how exoteric the laboratory is or how the man... It may just make it regular and then the only thing that goes out, puts an exhaust and then it goes out, it doesn't really care. But the fact is, they themselves may not even know the long-term consequences of what they're doing.
So you're saying that they've discovered about 30 labs.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, that's a lot of production.
Oh, yes.
But they produce mainly crack.
Not only crack. You know, crystal meth, for instance, the one they call Lumpurin Mini.
Yes.
That is basically what most of these labs do. And then they can then veer into other things. They can do marijuana. They can concoct all these things and then put it together.
Unkuru Miri.
Yeah.
How do they behave, those who...
You just don't want to... It's one of the most terrible substances available now for use. If people take it, they hardly sleep. It can keep you awake for like 3 days. It keeps you agitated, it keeps you agile, and they can keep walking. They don't sleep, it may not even eat. But it's extremely dangerous because it's dangerous to the central nervous system
yes.
And then the organs of the body. But many of these people don't know. But God, it gives a lot of high, and the high also helps them to say, it helps me walk longer.
Yes.
Yeah, I can do without sleeping. Or, you know, particularly for those artisans, you can say, oh, maybe let me use this, let's say a tailor. They can say, oh, I need to finish my customer's clothes before they come.
So my fashion look.
Oh, yes. And like that. And that is, and you're putting the body under pressure, because that is not the way the normal body should.
So, you can go for 3 days without sleeping.
Oh, even without eating. It's very common around now. It's very common around.
You find, oh, really?
Oh, yeah, you find that. Since we are beginning also to manufacture, they just need to bring this, and then they also come. You know, there are a lot of, a few days ago, some tablets, some lot of tablets of Tramadol were found. And this is almost every time. And you know, one thing that still baffles me, with this rate of interdiction, why do people still do it? But you also, we know, because of the inherent possibility of making so much money. So they will say, if I do it once, maybe I'll rest. But they keep doing it because
it looks like easy money.
Oh, it looks like easy money. It's easy money. It's a lot of money.
For somebody who's been under the influence of Nkperi Mori, can they ever get off it totally?
Oh, yes, just like any other substance. Depends on the person.
How do you treat them? Do you index them with something over time or what?
No, interestingly, I mean, in our system, we don't. We don't use drugs to treat drugs. So what we do when we admit them, we give them supportive therapy. I mean, the most immediate thing is the period in which they just come off it. There's an urge. But the moment the urge can go, and then take a lot of fluids, give a lot of fruits, and then you let them eat well and sleep well, they begin to burn it out of their system. It begins to go. And also the resolve. Because some of them are going to the point to say to themselves that, man, this thing will kill me if I don't stop.
Because, oh, they're that conscious at
oh,
some
yeah,
point?
Oh, yeah, most of the times. You know, you see, the thing, that's why I tell people, the things about substance abuse is not that easy. It's not that people just want to go on a binge. There's a particular time that comes to them and then they say, boy, I need to quit. Mm-hmm. But there are too many things that keep them in it. The urge. Because then when they don't, they have withdrawal symptoms, they begin to feel sweaty, they begin to have headache, they begin to have something like fever, body pains. And so in order to stop that, they say, let me just take a hit. And then it quells it. That's one. And also, nowhere to go to. Maybe the families have disowned them. They can't return
home.
And so the joint is where he knows. And he stays there. Also, the friends they keep. Some of them want to leave, and then his friend just calls him up. Oh, boy, let's meet at somebody's house now. There's something. And then he goes again. Mm. You know, there's a lot of factors. So, the society is not helping either.
Is there any sense of these things being available, for example, in some of the social centers we have, the lounges, the nightclubs? I'm asking a silly question, but I just like to know.
I can tell you for free that there's hardly no nightclub that they don't get these things like that.
So why has it been difficult to bust them?
The same way it's been difficult to bust anything in Nigeria.
Yeah, corruption.
You see, even if you bust them, in 2 days they're out, depending on who busts them, you know. And the thing is, social, even you don't need to go to nightclubs, you just go to regular parties of some folks, and then you get these things, you get the fix you want.
This thing called shisha, what is it?
You know, shisha, if you look at the Middle East area, it used to be something just like a pod. People just, but you know, they thought it was just a regular to puff and then walk away. I mean, maybe with some aphrodisiac or something.
Yes.
But now we have found out that people can put different things in it and then be puffing away. Oof. So the thing is just like you can buy the cigarette and the lining and sometimes put anything you want in it and do it like cigarette. So the same thing that has happened to something like shisha.
The world is in trouble, though.
No, it is. And I'm glad the way you started with a different thing about our young people.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't help our young people, you'll find out that in the same political space, there'll be no space for them because they cannot comprehend the intricacies of power. And then these old people will remain there to use them. What bothers me is if you go to the very many joints, you see young people wasting away there. Mm. But when it's time for politics, these same politicians will go there, gather them, fill them up and walk and then carry them to go and be campaigning. You don't wonder that why Nigerians don't take their own children to campaign. They carry other people's children to campaign. Those people that are lost, a guy that is down has no fear to fall. Yes. They can die, they can do also. So I'm so glad that you are starting something from the young people. They need to rediscover themselves. The future belongs to them.
Yeah, and some the part that I don't understand about certain things is some things are so clear.
Mm.
Okay, when I see comments and whatever, some things are so clear up to the point that even I start wondering that, am I missing something here? Mm. Do you understand what I'm saying? We, when we were growing up, for example, we were just like we were saying, we can't talk about what we were talking about before, but we can refer to it briefly to say that we used to say there were certain people that your mom would have told you, don't hang around.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes with you for life.
Yeah.
You have, I have complete intolerance for anybody who's been involved in drugs, either sell, use, or whatever. I don't want to hear about it.
But Jimmy, one thing you must know that, which I also say everywhere I go to talk, is that
yes,
parents need to be parents again.
Mm.
That's the thing. You see, we can sit down here and blue John the young people and say, oh, young people are doing, they learned it from somewhere.
Yes.
It didn't just happen out of the blues. They found it in people ahead of them. How many parents know what happened to their kids? How many parents know their kids? I'm not saying know the name. Can you stand up and say, oh, my kid will not do this, my kid will not do that? That's the challenge.
Okay, we'll soon take a break. When we come back, we'll take some of your calls, 0700-993-993 and 0146571190. And when we do come back, the next question I'm going to ask is, because Doku also works partially with the NDLEA, is in collaboration with them, how far down is this phenomenon at teenage level? That's what we are going to examine when we come back, so don't go away.
Don't touch that dial. Daily Digest returns in a moment.
Yeah, you're welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, and I still have Doksi, Dr. Dokun Adedeji. I always think of him as Doksi. By the way, do you remember Oluru?
Hey, Oluru. Bimbola, Oluru.
He's in America now.
Oluru.
Doksi.
Today.
Yes. Because your wife is listening, I won't say the name of your girlfriend at that
time. No, that's your...
Message here, Uncle Jimmy, well done to you. Welcome to you and your guests. Please, there's one called Scoochie.
Mm.
It looks like the color of Zobo.
Mm.
Eh? And there's a popular joint in our area in Iba, where most youths perceived to be Yahoo boys gather and puff all kinds of things. Mm. This is Bolaji from Iba. Which one is Scoochie?
Scoochie is you get strawberry, you dissolve some tramadol in it, and then you soak it in marijuana, and then put in ice cubes and... Around schools, they can sell it for like 200 naira.
Are you kidding?
Oh, I'm not kidding you. No. I'm not, Jimmy. You see, why we should worry is that the age of use of these things is beginning to go lower because of the availability.
Yes.
So, you know, we are in a very terrible times in which, as I said before, we learned that parents need to wake up to their responsibilities.
Hmm.
Paying school fees is not enough. Giving housing, giving all, is not enough. Staying with your children, spending time with them, understanding the rigors of what they go through and resolving it with them is so critical. These children are lured into it.
Hmm.
If, for instance, as I said somewhere when I went to speak, if you're a student in a higher institution and you just finish lecture and you're very hungry, and you get to your hostel, you see your friend who cooked beans or who did noodles, and you say, oh, Boba, and you eat. They garnish these things with this thing. I'm telling you.
So invariably, what we're saying is that, sorry to say, young people, but we have to be, so especially for the younger people, you need to be careful
absolutely
about what you consume.
Absolutely. You know what I say to them?
Mm.
don't go to the party of the friend of a friend. Someone that is not your friend that you don't really know.
You don't really know.
Don't say, oh, follow me to my friend's. You see, because at those parties, you never can be sure. You never can be sure. Mm. And these young people, and I say to them as well, with due respect, if you're going to a party, eat from your house. Drink from your house. If you go there, if you have a drink.
So if you eat from your house and you drink from your house, what's left? Okay.
No, you see, because that's the music. Then just have fun and then see your friends and have chats and go. You see, because the drink that you drink and you leave to dance, somebody may put something in it.
So okay, so fair enough. If somebody puts something in a drink, what's the first thing that would make you conscious that you feel uncomfortable, right? Like how? Do you feel
you will not even,
unduly excited?
No, what will happen is, it depends on what they put. It would change the taste. You will just drink it. But the thing you feel, you then just feel excited. Yes, and then you feel excitable and excited, and then you begin to laugh. I remember when we were in Ife, I went to, Bukateria, when there was a strike like this. So we drank palm wine. And this was regular palm wine, and they served it in gods.
Yes.
And it was sweet. So after taking one, I noticed I was laughing too much to everything. And then I said, wala today. And I got up, and I left. I left my friends there.
You don't correct.
So it's about coming to an understanding of who you are and getting to the point and say, no. But these days, the young people are going through so much pressure. People say, what is different from our time? The pressure that is different is the fact that the things they are open to, we were never open to.
Yes, the most we had, come to think of it, up to my university level, very few did what you would call drugs.
Yeah.
I don't know. But though they used to sell some tablets.
Madrax.
No, there was Madrax.
You remember?
What was Madrax?
Madrax was just something that keeps you awake.
But you'd want to sleep and then you want to be awake. I know it was something like that.
And because at that time you probably wanted to sleep, but then you said you wanted to read. And then you wanted something to keep.
Let me tell you an experience. It's good that people know that some of us have, not completely derailed, but some of us have, I was trying to read for school, school cert. And of course, I hadn't been diligent in my work, to be honest with you. So I needed something to read and catch up. So they said there was one, they used to sell something at Moshalashi Jimo, they called it mangani. That Tubati, he wants to take that mangani like this. So for 3 days, I didn't sleep.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was reading.
You went.
One Saturday, God bless the soul of my mother and my auntie, Mrs. Fremo. One Saturday, I'd done mangani on Saturday like this, my tongue came out and couldn't go back in. We thought it was, I said, so I said, Mommy, I couldn't even talk. My tongue wouldn't go back in. So we headed for the Leketa, my auntie's place, who was a sister in Luth. Before my mom, before we even went to Leketa, before someone went to a hospital in Lagos, I don't want to mention the name, famous hospital at that time. We did that. We came back. Apparently, what they gave me was a sedative. This is just gave me. And so when my mom now came and saw me without headed for Luth, the doctor in Luth yapped me. He finished me.
Because
that was the most
you could have died.
There was something also. I think there was one called Proplus or something like that.
All kinds of things.
But these ones were okay. You wanted to read and
you thought.
What you have now,
don't joke with it. There are all kinds of things available now. You just mentioned something. There's something called Zakami in the north. It's a seed. It's a natural seed. Right now, the NDLA, with the General Maro, they're analyzing it to see the constituents. Is extremely active. So we're trying to... Psychoactive. So we're trying to find out what it is.
So that must be the one... They give a lot of these young people, put a gun in their hands.
They give them tramadol, they give them all kinds of things. When they got to the camp of Boko Haram about 2 years ago, they found cartons and cartons of tramadol. And the tramadol that people use on the street is different from the tramadol.
I was going to ask.
It's different. The tramadol of hospital is either 50 milligram. or 100 milligrams. But the ones they sell is, it starts from about 225 milligrams to 250, 500, and 1,000 milligrams. So it's the same thing.
Okay, the lines, our lines are buzzing. Let me pick, let's pick the first call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, sir.
How are you, sir? My name is Emmanuel.
Yes, sir, Mr. Emmanuel.
I'm calling from College Road.
Yes, from College Road.
In fact, God bless you, sir, for this discussion.
Yes.
Oh, I can tell you that, in fact, I'm really, really sad for our youth these days.
Yes.
Just like you said, you know, like myself, you know, I was born in the 80s, and when we were growing up, I think our parents had time for us.
Mm.
They had time to train us. You know, I grew up on a moral level.
Yes.
You know, many things I was taught that, okay, you shouldn't do this. Until now, those things are still with me.
Mm. Yes.
But parents of nowadays, maybe because of the nature of economy, the fact that both parents now have to go to work and make money to complement each other, is really leaving the children behind.
Yes.
And by the time these parents grow old and leave this world, then these children will be the one to be the next parent. Now, I'm afraid of the next set of parents. We are already seeing it.
Mm. I think, thank you.
Afraid.
Thank you, sir. I think,
yes, sir.
Part of what you have with the new in thing now is, for those who believe they are quote unquote successful, they concentrate more on "if only mama could see me now." That is to say, you don't do a good study of the schools you send your children to, you send them to where all these spoiled kids are. They spoil them, and then they're busy running after money, running after contract, running after this and that. And parenting has gone to the dogs.
Jimmy, I'm glad that this young man called in. Another thing that I always say, there are a lot of parents who need parenting themselves.
Yeah, it's going to happen now.
You see, because what happens, I ask myself, you see, this thing starts from it's very foundational. When a boy and a girl are going out, what do they discuss? Hair, nails, and all those things. No values. And so by the time they get married, the things are very...
When you were 20, 21, and you were going out, what were you discussing?
No. You see, what I mean is, before you go out then, you will see, does the person fit into the kind of life that you want to live?
No, I said to her, and I thought you would say, you know, what were the things we used to discuss then, both with girls and with boys? Future.
Oh, yeah.
Career.
What do you want to become?
What do you want to become?
That kind
then,
of stuff.
Then, again, novels.
Yeah, books. What have you read? These
days. You remember when we were young, it was rare for you to find somebody without a book in his hand.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember that.
Not now.
Even when babe comes see you for house, he must carry a book first.
Because
you're going to tell him, put this book down. You remember Mills and Booms and all?
Of course. I mean, those are for the girls. And then we had our own.
Put this book down.
And then we had Nick Carter. you know. And then James had the chase.
Put this book down.
But you see, people don't know that is how character formation started.
And most of the, I mean, way back then, most of the girls, even when we were in A-levels, they would, if they thought that you didn't have a future, they wouldn't.
Oh, no, of course. If you're just a riffraff, everybody walks away from you. But those are the people that are liked today because they're frivolous, they're just there. They do all kinds of funny stuff that they happen.
Well, also because the emphasis has moved to money. You know, they can do Yahoo. But let's go there. Look at that. Dokun, you're breaking all the whatever. We have about 10 calls there. Pick one of them. Hello, good morning. Hello? Okay. Put that one off. Pick another one. Hello? Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, sir. Who's calling?
My name is Kyle Demogaji, sir.
Hey, APC.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
APC.
Uncle Jimmy, we are talking about drugs.
Serious.
But we must acknowledge you. We must greet you properly.
Uncle Jimmy, I said something a while ago about having rehabilitation centers in every local government.
Yes.
It's gotten that bad now. It's not just about arresting. We can work on arresting the barons and all this.
Well,
how about rehabilitation? And when I say rehabilitation, you have to go as low as the residential areas and all the community development p- people have to be involved. It's an emergency.
Okay, I know you're a Surulere little guy, so maybe you want to tell us what it's like in your neighborhood.
Ah, Surulere is
tight. No, I'm even talking to
about,
him.
I remember growing up, you talk about M&B's, Ali Queens, and all my sisters.
Yes.
And we also grew up reading, have a family time with your parents and everything.
Mm.
Uncle Jimmy, parenting has been abused, and that's one of the victims of poverty.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you very much.
You see, let me just comment at one point he said that an error people made. There was a time one, I don't want to mention his name, one senator stood up and said there should be rehabilitation centers in every local government. I don't think so. It doesn't make sense. Have rehabilitation centers is extremely expensive. Apart from the financial implications, what about personnel? You see, working in a rehab center is not because you want to work. There has to be a heart system in it. Your heart must be, you have empathy. You must understand, put yourself in the place of these people, and then how do you help them?
I don't even want government to, because right. Guess what? It will become a haven.
Absolutely. And then they begin to carry. Yes. You see, what Jenna Marwa is saying, and I'm glad the young man said it, is not shifting his eyes from interdiction, but is putting his emphasis on demand reduction. That's why you now see him go around trying to educate people, raise awareness about this drug, about the devastation that is visiting upon us. So that's the way we must look at it. Interdiction should be for those, you know, these people we pick at the airport, they're just moods. They're just leg people. Mm. The real people may be sitting in an office as high up as any level, and then the guy there does not know the next guy in the level. So if you begin to punish people who smoke or people you catch at the joint, you are punishing the victim. That is double jeopardy. We should find rehabilitation, but I think one of the things that we should... Corporations should begin to look at how to help organizations like us who are involved. Everybody can do rehab.
I don't even want... You see, the moment government gets involved...
No, not government.
It gets murky. Mm. It gets... Mm. You don't have a sense of what's going on.
It seems to be working now with Marwa, but my thing is...
Does the NDLEA have rehabilitation centers?
They have some, and they're trying to rejuvenate it or reinvigorate it and make it par level. But I know that, you know, in Nigeria, is a fancy thing.
Mm.
The man is there, he's doing that, he puts all his life in it. The moment he's moved somewhere, somebody comes and says, what is the need for this? Unless we put structure.
The moment you move him to sports, that's it. If he gets a ministerial appointment, that's it.
But I know, I can tell you this, so the way I've seen the man, the way we work together, I don't think we'll be carried away with all those kind of frivolous appointments. I think his heart is set on this thing. You know, it started from when he was chairman PASIDA, and he became chairman of...
What's PASIDA?
Presidential Advisory Committee on the Elimination of...
Substance.
That was before he was moved to NDLEA. So he came prepared.
We'd like to have him in our studios, though.
I've already talked to the media person, and I've already hinted him. I'm sure he will be delighted to, because...
But I don't want him to come live, though. I don't want to be a target, because it's a very dangerous job.
No, you see, the thing is, he's also a very careful man.
Yeah,
but he's very careful.
Man. Could be down yet or say that. You know, you're not soldier. Yeah. Okay, soldier, hello. The cocking of the gun, they will make me go run for cover. No, I'm just kidding, really. I'm just kidding. Let's take another call, Feta. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, ma.
Good job you are doing here. My name is Altini.
Thank you, ma.
I quite agree with what your guest is saying. Yeah. Parents are no longer parents. When we're growing up, your parents will filter the kind of friends you go out with.
Mm.
My father, you come back, a friend comes to the house, and you go out and you don't get back to the house before 6. The next time the friend is coming to the house, I don't want to see you in my house.
Your father? You
know? But these days, parents, they allow children watch their words or their children watch any kind of movie, do any kind of thing. And when you talk, they say, you know, children of these days, you know, they will always use that as an excuse. You know, children of nowadays, you need to give them some leverage. You need to give them some, you know, some space. My father never allowed you any space. We were never allowed any space. I tell you, parents are not parents these days. Thank you very much. Well done. For
God
the
bless
job.
You, madam. Thank you. Hello, good morning. Sorry.
No, go on.
Hello, morning. Hello?
Yeah, Uncle Jimmy, good morning, sir.
Morning, Chris. How are you?
Yeah. Doc, good morning, sir.
Morning.
I get two grown-up boys. You know, during the lockdown, for 6 months, I was at my workplace. Mm. But I always call my boys. Either they're in the parlor or in the sitting room. They don't have friends. I come back after 6 months. My neighbor called me. Dad, did your children travel with you? I said, no. How did you bring these children up in this environment? I live at the Shadde, though. I see what people do. So I want to thank God for that. Really, like the last caller said, the parents, we have a lot to do. I'm telling you, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes.
And I like the way you pronounce that, Umiri.
And that's the correct pronunciation. You know, Jimmy, I'm just hoping. You see, there's this illusion that parents come under. Oh, we need to work hard. We need to make money. Children are not saying don't work hard. They're saying, please find time for me. I tell some parents, if a child comes to you and wants to ask you a question, can't you see that I'm busy? Come back. The child will never ask you that same question again.
Yeah.
It will find the answer somewhere else. You see, spending time becomes...
And it's not being unduly strict.
No, it's not.
It's not
you
being...
see, they're not even saying, don't tell me not what to do, but explain to me why I should not. You see, when they ask why, don't say, what do you mean? I'm talking to you. I say, you see, the thing that is missing, even in the parents that are at home, is the mode of discussion. How can you tell your child, when he's feeling his jam form, field engineering, field medicine?
Yes.
Have you ever been to the parents' teacher association? Have you related with the child? Do you know your child's capabilities? If you don't do that, I've seen many people brought to assist a program who said, they gave me engineering. I said, I'm reading engineering because my father is an engineer. So I said, would you have read? He said, no, I would have loved to read law.
Law.
I said, why didn't you read? So my father will know, my mother will know. How do we
bring And then up? The child gets mixed up.
Absolutely. And then they don't make it, and then they go into drugs, and you say he's a terrible boy. It's not. You pushed him, you railroaded him into the situation. So he doesn't go to class. And the boy is not even good with physics or mathematics, but he's very good with liberal arts.
I was going to ask you, and I almost forgot, is this thing anywhere near the secondary schools?
Oh, absolutely. Primary school, upper level of
primary school.
I can tell you that. Upper level of primary school. We'll go there. You
wow.
Will. Look, I went to talk somewhere, and then the governor had to ask for the tape, and it was on LTV. And I said to them, all those people who sell around schools, check them. They sell some of this stuff. So what they did in Lagos was to clear. I said, Sanwo-Olu did that.
Ooh, that's good.
He cleared all those people selling around schools and said there should be no selling because they camouflage. That they are selling ice water, they are selling is not true.
And toffee and
they're selling sweet. Some of these sweets have been tampered with. I mean, there's something I can quickly tell you. If you get one of these sachets of these food drinks, I don't want to mention their names, they'll cut it thinly, they'll mix it with marijuana and grind tramadol and put. And when they have mixed it, they'll put it in by a bag and use iron to seal it back. And so these boys will buy it like something like chocolate and they'll break in it to eat. You know, you can't just understand how ingenious, criminally ingenious, these people are to produce this thing to give to kids. So we all of us need to wake up. And when I tell people, I say it's not about Marwa or India, it's about all of us.
Okay. Dokun, we got to go. You'll be back again. I'll never tire of bringing you back for us to talk
just
about
tell
this
me.
Thing.
Just tell me.
Yes, and I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing, giving back to your society, because a lot of it is voluntary. And I do like that. One of these days, you'll come and tell your story why you're so... Maybe you had a personal experience, or it was when you became born again. This born again man, he used to be very rascally. Doxy.
I know that I can Doxy. Connect with them.
Yes,
how they
yes.
Look how they say,
yes.
Oh... So
Eleo Jassy. We got to go, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow is Debumi Nkubi. Most of you will know Nkubi. If you don't know, Google his name. Nkubi and Husband Material. They'll be here tomorrow. It's going to be a riot because the two of them are comedians anyway. And it's going to be a serious riot tomorrow. Then on Friday, we have the Youth Forum, okay? Tony Payne is one of the youths that will be there. We'll link up with her in America. Most of you know Tony Payne. If you don't know Tony Payne, again, Google it. And I have three. We have one other lady and two other guys. We have to do some balancing. This is not like Muslim ticket, do man woman tickets, Muslim Christian ticket, everything. But they are the ones who will be in the studio. But we'll also allow you call in, tweet, and so on and so forth. Okay? So, see you all tomorrow, 9 o'clock.
This is an infomercial.